This is Totally Cool Tech, the show that brings you the hottest in cool technology. No matter if it's old school or new school, high tech or low tech, it's all still cool tech.
Welcome, everybody. This is a Totally Cool Tech podcast edition number 558. Nothing left but for Wednesday, August 1st, 2012. I'm Norbert Davis, your host. Hey, it's another week out here in wonderful Lemoore, California, and I'm still working on a solar job, which is actually going quite well. Things are going a little bit better than we thought. Things are going in the ground faster, the wire and all that. We're starting to set up posts and get everything ready for our not a fixed tilt. It's actually a tracker system that will actually track with the sun. So it starts off looking to the east when the sun rises, and it follows the sun all the way through the day until it sets or gets too low to actually get enough photons and generate power. But it generates a lot of power all throughout the day. Really cool system. About 20 megawatts is what we're putting in. Takes quite a few acres. I think we're about, 100 acres is the size of our area. So we're getting a lot of sun, getting a lot of done. Things are going pretty good. So anyway, just thought I'd give you a little update on what things are going on in my little life here. And oh yeah, another cool thing is that I got done this week. I actually got my little, you know, the little idiot light in your car that says check engine. Yeah, that thing has been on my car for years. Yeah, why haven't I fixed it? Well, you know, I really hate going underneath the engine in that area. I hate going underneath the hood. I'm used to the old carburetors and things like that, you know, the old style cars. I don't like messing with these cars. I tried fixing every little thing I could. I changed out the mass airflow sensor. I changed out the PCV valve, which was a lot more complicated than it used to be in my day. And the last thing that the message board said was, oh, take off your intake plenum and change out the isolator bolts and gaskets. And, you know, I just read that and I said, nah, too much under the hood. I'm done with that. I hate busting my knuckles. But my car registration's coming up. Actually, I paid it. But I have to get it smogged. And to get it smogged, you got to get that little light to come off. And it won't come off. I can reset it with my OBD2 little device, which I used and got the codes and figured out why I have a problem. I can erase that, but after about 100 miles, it'll come back on. And the guys who are checking your smog, because I'm here in California, smog is a big thing, got to get it done every 2 years, they will not let you smog the car. They can't smog the car if that thing had been reset within, like, you know, 100 miles worth of driving. It's got to get a minimum amount of driving to make sure that there's no problems, because it takes a while for the computer to reassess everything that's going on. Well, that was Saturday. Went in under the hood with my brother-in-law, got everything done, got all the gaskets done, got all the isolator bolts changed out, which those were probably the problem. Googled everything. YouTube's great because it showed me exactly what I had to do. And after watching that, I was confident that I could do this. I'm pretty well mechanically inclined. I'm not opposed to wrenching on my car, but, you know, I'd rather pay someone else to do it. And yeah, I got it done rather quickly. My brother-in-law got all the parts because he's got a contact and get all the parts we need. Got him quicker for me because I was out of town. He got all the parts, got it ready. We knocked it out. Took us a little bit longer than probably would take a regular mechanic, but yeah, you know, weren't exactly speedy at it, but we got it done in a fair amount of time, about 4 hours, I think it was, total. Got it done, knocked it out, driven 200 and some odd miles now, because I'm down here in Lemoore, and no light coming on. That is awesome, and I checked it this morning. I brought the little OBD2 scanner, plugged it in this morning, said zero codes, so I was like, yes! So, when I get home tomorrow's Wednesday, today, because this will go out Wednesday, I'll have to get it smogged in the morning, Thursday. I'm going to go get it smogged and get that taken care of, and I'll have get my little sticker, and I will be legal. So, anyway, just thought I'd let you know that little bit of tech that I used this weekend with my little scanner, little OBD2 scanner. Comes in handy. It was only like $50 or something like that. All right. Well, on this week's episode of Totally Cool Tech, I've got Netgear's Wi-Fi booster, Hasbro's laser tag for iOS, Hex3's laser tag for, well, basically everybody else, and you iOS folks as well, Smart Bandage, and the clog-free inkjet printer. All right, why don't we go ahead and just dive on into this. The first thing I got here is Netgear's Wi-Fi booster, and this is really cool. Found this over at Coolest Gadgets. I love this site. Really good site for me to find some really cool stuff. And the thing I like about this is Netgear's Wi-Fi booster. It gives you that little bit of signal boost. It's a repeater. It's your Wi-Fi repeater. Because nowadays, if you got your smartphone or your iPad or your Android tablet or whatever it is, it's probably using Wi-Fi most of the time to communicate. And if not, it's going to be using your data plan. And if it's using your data plan, you're paying for that. That's going to use up a lot of your time, minutes, whatever it is, however your system is figured out by your carrier. But this is pretty cool. And it's only, $40, I think it was? Yeah, you can get this thing for like $40 over at Amazon right now. And it's a pretty cool little device, about the size of a pack of cards, maybe a little bit thicker than that, but not as big, but it takes about the same volume as a pack of cards. Plugs right into your receptacle. You'll have a thing for your connection, tell your status, your on-off, and if it's secure or not. That is too cool. So it becomes basically an extender for your Wi-Fi. And if you've got a weak area in your house, or you've got, say, a long house, or you want to be able to go out back or out front, wherever, you can plug this in and extend your range of your wireless system. It's totally cool. And it saves you money. Because I'm on my devices a lot. I've got the iPad. My wife's got the Kindle. I've got the brand new iPhone 4S for work, which they told me, use your Wi-Fi. It saves us a lot of money. We don't use the data plan. And I got to agree with that. And then I've got my Droid. So, I might have to get me one of these because I do have a dead spot or two towards the front of the house that my son has noted to me. Dad, I can't play my Minecraft online because the signal keeps dropping off. I tell him to move. Solves the problem, right? But with this, he doesn't have to move. He can sit where he likes to sit and play his little Minecraft and stuff like that. So I might have to go get this. And at $40, why not? It's Netgear. You know it works. Okay. Now, it may or may not work with everybody's thing, with other networks. You got to kind of find that out. But it'll work with most of them. So if you got a fairly newer router, it's going to work. So it'll reduce to 3G and a 4G mobile data usage and all that kind of stuff. Love it. All right. Oh, you know what? I didn't look what it's working on. Oh, yeah. It works with 802.11 B, G, and N. So check that out. Work with Internet Explorer, Firefox, Chrome, Safari. It'll work with everybody. So pretty cool. Not a problem. Gotta love that. Okay, what do I have next? Hasbro's laser tag for iOS. Now, this thing is $40. And it's by Hasbro. So, it's a good quality product. And I played this a little bit. I have to admit, I went and I downloaded the app. It's free. Why not, right? Because I had to let you know about this thing. And I tell you what, I started playing with it, and it gets a little bit addicting. You know why? Because it's not just laser tag, it's augmented reality laser tag. You can do single player, which it throws up little drones and things like that, and little spaceships coming at you, and you got to blast them, and you got to tap the screen to fire. and has little explosions and all that when you hit them. You see your little lasers go off. You can also play two-player mode or multiplayer mode where you actually can shoot your friends and you can see that. And it uses the camera from the system, from the iOS, whether it's your iPod Touch, fourth generation, or your iOS-based 3GS, 4 or 4S iPhone. I played this for about, 10 minutes here before the show, before I started recording. And I tell you what, I had to stop myself or I would never have recorded the show. So I was having a great time. I actually loving it. So after this, I'm definitely going to be playing some more. This is something that my boys are going to be fighting over the phone for, which they really won't get because they're going to have to fight Dad. And I can still kick their butts. Anyhow, you can do some in-store or in-app purchases for additional guns. Doesn't really change your device because it's a phone or your iPad or your iPod, which is all right. But you can actually purchase the gun. The laser tag gun is by Hasbro. And it's going to be about $40. And then they're going to come out with a two-pack, which will go for $75. And pretty cool. You know, you put your iPhone in this gun as the screen, really. And as you pull your trigger, it goes ahead and, you know, fires and all that kind of stuff. So it hooks up to your iPhone via the connector. At least I believe it hooks up by the connector. I haven't really found that out exactly, but I think I saw a little the advertisement for it and some pictures that kind of, I think I showed a wire. So it's got to hook up to your 30-pin connector. You don't have to buy the gun. You can. It's probably a little bit better than, you know, using like I'm doing. It looks like a video game, but you got to move around. You got to, you know, if we play in first person or single player, you got to move around and get these things. So you're constantly moving your device to make like the screen move, like you're flying a spaceship or something. Pretty cool. I highly recommend this. Just get the app, play for free. It's just fun. All right, what else do we got? Oh, yeah. So it doesn't work with Android, right? So what all you Droid users going to do? Well, you're going to go get the Hex 3, which is it's a system that'll work for not only iPhones, but Android. So that's really cool. And it kind of takes off on the same system. It's very similar the way it works. It uses any mobile phone type device. So you can put your iPhone in there, you can put your iPod, your iPod Touch, your Droid, whether it's HTC, whatever, doesn't matter, you know, Samsung Galaxy, Motorola, doesn't matter. And the thing is, you can buy a piece. It started off as a Kickstarter, and you can buy just the body of it for $60. And it'll slide on to like any Nerf gun or any, a Busby or any kind of action gun that has an accessory rail is what they call it. And the thing comes with a trigger pad that you can add on to, say, the Nerf trigger or anything like that to make this whole thing work. Or you can buy their pistol grip and it'll work seamlessly with that, which is pretty slick. The thing is, it doesn't go on sale. Let me see. What does it say? Because if you want to go ahead and buy one, you click the add to cart, and they have an iPad. They have an iPod and iPhone app, the iOS app, that's supposed to be going out there pretty soon. But I guess the laser blaster orders will be shipping out at the end of August, and you won't get charged until then. Thing is, I haven't seen the app for this yet. Which I'm kind of a little bit confused on because it's supposed to be out. But I'm expecting maybe by the end of this month, check back for this if you want to do it. So it's kind of like, it's almost exactly like the Hasbro laser tag, but it's for iOS or Android. So if you're an Android user, that's your only real choice. That has something that you can hook onto a gun and you can play so your kids can use it, or an adult can use it. And pretty darn slick. I thought it was pretty cool. I kind of like the Hasbro one right now, only because I can use it. But I am looking forward to seeing something from Hex 3. Yeah, pretty cool. I mean, but at $60, and the app better be free from Hex 3. That's all I got to say. It's a little bit more expensive. But okay. All right, this is pretty cool. It's a concept bandage, and found this over at Uber Gizmo. And this is called, I call it a smart bandage. It's called the Ammo, A-M-O-E band. It's a concept bandage. It's pretty smart, as a matter of fact. It'll tell you when you need to go ahead and change your bandage. Now, that's pretty cool. It changes the color. And so that way you don't like have to rip that off, you know, and find out you need to put another one back on and have ripped out, you know, a bunch of hairs around the wound because, well, I got a lot of arm hair. And when, if I have to put a Band-Aid on my arm or something like that, it pretty much sucks. Because when I go to take it off, even on like my leg, oh my God, hairs get ripped out all the time. And that really sucks. But this thing is really cool. It's a concept, like I said. But what they want to do, or what they're planning on doing with this, is not only will the dressing material, which covers the cut, not only will it tell you when it needs to be changed, but it should be able to detect the pH level of the wound, around the wound. And if it hovers between 6.5 and 8.5, that would mean that an infection has set in, and a purple indicator in the cross. It has a little cross. It's a white cross, and it needs to be replaced. It'll turn purple. But if it gets purple, it definitely will know you need to change the bandage, and you can inform your doctor if it's infected and all that. So I would think it would turn a different color if it was infected. I wish they would be a little bit more. I mean, all I get is what I get off this article, but it seems like it would be really cool if it would go ahead and change to a different color when it needs to be changed, or a different color when it needs to be looked at by a physician or somebody like that. Because, when it's done, it's done. If you've healed. But I don't know. I don't know how often you need to change a Band-Aid. When I was a kid, I'd just throw one on, leave it on until it basically fell off, which was probably about 2 days, give or take. Of course, I used to play outside all the time, rough around in the dirt and trees, climbing trees, playing out in the fields, riding bikes, whatever. Went through a lot of Band-Aids as a kid, especially riding that bike, man. Boy, I bit it so many times, but that's another story. All right, what else we got here? Okay, yeah, this was pretty cool. The clog-free inkjet printer. It was inspired. Let me say this. A lot of things in technology nowadays are looking to nature for a solution to a problem. Nature being exquisite in the way it handles problems and creates its own solutions. Researchers have gone through and decided to take a look at inkjet printers. What's the major problem with an inkjet printer? Well, it's not always being used, right? So the ink head clogs, and when that happens, to clear the clog, the inkjet printer has to push out a huge jet of ink to break that crust off, because it's been sitting there drying for a long time. So you're wasting a lot of valuable ink, and I'm not going to go through the cost on inkjet ink, because we all know it's like more valuable than gas, even at its high point. It's almost running as much as gold, really, if you figure it per the ounce. But probably more like silver or something like that. Anyway, the human eye has a similar problem to an inkjet printer head. It has to be open, right? Your eye has to be open for you to see. But how do you keep the eyeball from drying out? Well, the eye puts out a little bit of oil that goes on top of the tear on your eye. So you have a little film of oil over your coverage of tears on your eyeball to keep it from drying out. That is so cool. Well, the researchers are doing this pretty much exactly with this printhead by using an electric field to go ahead and put a little, spread a little bit of silicone oil over a printhead and thus keeping it moist so it doesn't dry out. And by working that electronic field, they can get rid of the oil, pull it off there basically, let it print. When it comes back, reapply that field, and the oil goes back over. This is pretty cool. And I don't know how much ink they would really save, you know, per cartridge, but it's got to be, say what, you may use a tenth of your ink to basically clean your inkjet printheads. Well, buy 9, get 1 free. Be like getting your 10th one free, right? That's not too bad. I can't wait for this stuff to really come out. It doesn't say when they're going to be trying to shove this into consumer products yet. Now, there are other printing devices that use similar mechanisms to inkjet printers, and adapting that clog-free nozzle to these machines could save businesses and researchers thousands of dollars in wasted materials. It says, for example, biological tissue printers, which may someday be capable of fabricating replacement organs, can squirt out living cells to form biological structures. And those cells are so expensive that researchers often find it cheaper to replace the nozzles rather than waste the cells. So clog-free nozzles would be great and eliminate costly replacements of parts and stuff like that. So that's pretty interesting. You know, someone's going to go ahead and build you a new kidney. Using basically 3D printing, using biological tissue, a little cell ink, or cell jet printer, something like that. I don't know. That sounds pretty cool. And finally, there's just one thing left, and that is to say thank you. Thank you very much for downloading and listening to the show. I really do appreciate it, and it's meant a lot to me. However, I need to let you know that this will be pretty much my last regular podcast for a while, and perhaps a long while. I'm really not sure right now, but after 7 years of podcasting, a little over 7 years, and nearly five of those years with this podcast right here, Totally Cool Tech, I'm going to go ahead and I'm gonna take a break. I feel I have not been able to give you the best possible show that I can over the last year or so, and you deserve a lot more. And, you know, it's like things like, you know, I covered CES this year and I wanted to do so much there and I really didn't get as much of it done the way I wanted to, though I had a great time there. I really did have a really great time, and I will continue to work on the blog as much as I can, man, because I really do believe in it. And it has been a great run, and I hope to be able to come back and do the show regularly again. You know, perhaps a little differently, perhaps a different schedule. Not that there has been much of a schedule the last year or not or so, but, you know, I want to give you guys something good if I'm going to do it. I probably will do some periodic things, don't know, here and there, maybe a little special or something, I don't know. But I want to thank two great listeners who have made this experience so wonderful. Bruce Barr and Bree Sensota, you guys have been great contributors to the show. You've been supporting me for a long, long time, and I really do appreciate it. They love to let me know how the show was going, and like I said, they contributed to the show, and I love that, especially Bruce. Bruce, thank you. Thank you very much, sir. You did a lot, especially helping out with CES and throwing out a couple of your own shows there that I was able to use when I was not able to produce a show. So I really do appreciate that. And I want to go ahead and thank the podcasters that have inspired and helped me, and who I can call friend, which that would be Mike Smith of the Mike Tech Show, of course, Jeff Clark of Tech Tip Tuesday, Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp of Technorama. They were some of the first podcasters I really got in touch with and got to know, and it was really great. And of course, my good friend Paul Muller of the Caffeination Podcast. These podcasters became more than good friends. They were also mentors. And that is the greatest thing that I will be able to take away from this experience. I got to learn from some really good podcasters. Got to do some good stuff with them. Got to meet, I met Mike Smith a couple times in person out here in California. Went back east, met with Paul Muller. That was awesome. Chuck Tomasi and Craig Stepp. Met with them over at Blog World and the new Podcast Expo a couple years ago. So once in Vegas, once in Ontario, California. That was really cool. Loved meeting those. Those guys are great. Those guys are great. All of them. They're all great. And I've been haven't yet been able to meet face to face with Jeff Clark, but we've done at least one FaceTime. That was pretty cool. Do a little Google Plus chatting and things like that, or Google Chat, I guess. And that's been really cool. So, well, you know, let's see. All the show notes and links and contact info are at the website at www.totallycooltech.com. If you have any questions, comments, or if you know about some cool tech that you think should be on the blog, just email me, norbert@totallycooltech.com. And, yeah, that's pretty much going to be it. So I will see you some other time. Thank you, and goodbye.